Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Mac gonna throw. Jones is there. It's caught. Julio stays in. Hit the pylon. Touchdown, Atlanta.
It's time for the Falcons flyover.
A complete recap of today's game as we check in with quarterback Matt Ryan and more Falcons.
As we also get your take on today's game. The Falcons flyover is on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Here's Thomas Mott.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com, Falcons flyover. So it just got worse, and it keeps getting worse. And just when you think it's gotten better because they won last week, Atlanta literally crushes every hope and dream again. How do you lose that game, first off? And how do you lose in that fashion where scoring a touchdown literally cost you the game in the end? Of course the Falcons weren't going to be able to get a stop on that final drive. I was sitting there watching it on my TV going, you know what? This defense is different, right? It's been different last week. They played a good game today. All they got to do is keep out of the end zone. It's not going to be that hard. Wrong, wide open, Hockenson, touchdown. Falcons lose 23-22. Hello, welcome to the Falcon Flyover. I'm your host, Thomas Mott. I know I'm upset. I know you're upset. Dylan Matthews in producing. Dylan, you're upset. There's just no words. But the problem is, we've said this for five straight weeks. How many times? We had no words after the Cowboys game. We had no words after the Bears game. Now we have no words after this. What are we supposed to say right now? What am I supposed to say?
Well.
Yeah.
I mean, this to me, this was kind of a swing game for me.
It really was.
If we win this game, great. Let's go for it.
Yep.
You know, maybe we could turn this thing around. Since we lost, well, we might as well. I hate to say it because I like to be positive. I like to be, you know, like yourself, a glass half full type of dude. Find a way for us to go for it and make it this year. But at this point, no room for error. I don't think 9-7 gets you even in a wild card. Maybe it does, but I'm not too hopeful about it. So basically at this point, it's either you win out or you're probably not going to make the playoffs. So with all that being said and what we got left on the schedule, we might as well go for Justin Fields, Trevor Lawrence, whatever.
That could be the worst part about the whole day is I was fully prepared to walk into this studio sitting at 2-5 and pitch this idea of, hey, listen, Denver next week, Drew Locke is playing right now. He looks terrible against Kansas City. I mean, yeah, Panthers again, or Panthers on Thursday, and then the Broncos the following Sunday, whatever the schedule was. I was convinced. I honestly believe yesterday on my morning show, Ready or Mod, the Falcons were going to be 4-5 and then go into a bye and then play the Saints. And if you beat a Saints team that, you know, Kamara looks good, but that's basically it in terms of that overall roster, you could beat them, be 5-5, and guess what? They'd be relevant. The relevancy of the Atlanta Falcons just died today. It really did. Like, it absolutely did. Now, we'll obviously still watch. We'll obviously still care. There are a lot of storylines to still keep an eye on. And yes, for all of those super cheerful Falcon fans out there, technically, you know, you could win some games, and the seventh seed in the NFC could be a possibility. But as we all, I think, you know, rationally understand, today was a day that you had to win against a Detroit Lions team that has had similar bad luck to Atlanta. It's a very similar situation. They're in a division that's a lot better than I would say very similar to what the North, what the South and the North are. They got two teams at the top, and then, you know, it's a little bit of a gap, and then you have the Vikings down at the bottom. But overall, man, it just feels unfair. Is it fair to say it feels unfair right now? It just feels absolutely unfair to be a Falcons fan because we are now 7 weeks in. If I do my math correctly, 7 weeks in, 0-4 at home, and another game where you're marching down the field, you figure you kick that field goal, you're good to go, and then Gurley gets the touchdown. And I know people are going to want to say he shouldn't have scored, and he obviously tried not to, but still, you should be able to score a touchdown and believe in your defense enough to win a football game, right? And I this whole idea that Gurley blew this thing today, no. There's a lot more in terms of blowing this football game that we're going to get into a lot later on. For me, though, quickly, Monday morning quarterback style, I kick a field goal instead of going for it on fourth down and five inside the Lions territory up one. That's just me. A game where the offense was able to move the football on some drives, but not others. The defense was playing well. A field goal there makes it a four-point game, guaranteeing Matt Stafford having to go score a touchdown. Now, of course, the way it all turned out in the end, does it really matter? Yeah, you can argue that. But, glass half full, talking about looking back at what I would have done, hindsight 2020, the field goal there to me is a little bit of a head-scratcher not going for it, instead trying to fourth and five. I get what Raheem Morris is doing, right? I trust the offense. I trust Matt Ryan. Let's go hammer these guys. You score a touchdown there. It's now, an 8-9 point game, whatever it is. But it's not like you're playing a playoff team in the, let's just say, the Bucs or the Saints, where you're trying to play upset alert. You're just trying to win. Like, it doesn't matter if you beat the Lions or not, because it doesn't hurt the Lions at all. So rolling the dice doesn't do much for me right now. Play to win that football game, kick the field goal, keep it safe, and then trust a defense that up to that point had been pretty good.
Yeah, for sure. I see it both ways.
Yeah.
I mean, like you said, in that situation, I think you got to go guaranteed points. And it was early enough in the game, too, where why are you necessarily risking it? I don't see it. I mean, I guess also, too, the Lions would have been backed up. I mean, they did end
That's
up starting
true.
On 13.
That's
so
true.
I guess he figures, hey, if we don't get this, the Lions are backed up. I'm trusting my defense and trusting my offense, too. So I see it both ways, but, gut feeling, again, hindsight's 2020, but gut feeling, I feel like you should have got three.
If you really want to talk about a play that changed that football game early on, that roughing the passer sack of A.J. Terrell,
bogus.
That was literally a sack. Like you had to sack the quarterback, and they threw a roughing the passer call. They really went helmet to helmet there. It was just a hard hit. It's like they saw a hard hit on a quarterback, and the ref panicked and threw the flag. That was third down and goal. They stopped him there, a field goal. You want to talk about a play that changes the football game, that's the one you go to. It's not Gurley falling down in the end zone where he could have been down at the one and burning more clock. It's not going for it on fourth down and five because, like you said, if they get it, then Raheem Morris is a hero. Oh, my gosh, like how fantastic of a play call. No. It is the fact the refs called that play, and there were other bad calls, and I'm not a big blame the refs kind of guy. But still, how do you call roughing the passer on a sack that's like an actual sack? I did a double take. Like I almost rewound my TV, but they showed a replay right after. I was like, did Stafford throw the ball away? If Stafford throws the ball away, then it's like, okay, well, you hit him hard. Sure, right? It's the modern NFL. Then you realize Stafford had the football. He never threw the football away. Oh, my goodness. Yeah. I mean, that's the softness of the National Football League in 2020. And it wasn't even a quarterback that they normally protect, right? Like, if that was Brady or Breeze or Mahomes, so they want to protect in there. I mean, I feel like the NFL could care less about Matthew Stafford, but, what are you going to do? If you're just joining us, Falcons fall 23-22. We're going to get to the highlights here coming up in about 8 minutes. Going to get you guys also to some post-game sound. We'll hear from Raheem Morris on what was going on in terms of the Todd Gurley touchdown, but also from Matt Ryan on that fourth down and five play, all that audio coming up here in the 6 o'clock hour. And then we'll do our bird's eye view, and we'll put a grade on some players at 6:20, where we talk to Jarvis Davis and get his grades on a lot of the Falcon players and coaches, how he thought that they performed. There's no way to sugarcoat this. Today, this is awful. I mean, that was you just think it can't get worse. Now, I don't know if this one is worse than the onside kick one, because that one just felt really bad. It was like, that's as dumb as it gets. And now we know Dallas is an absolutely abysmal football team right now. But this is still right up there. This is worse than the Bears loss. So if you want to rank the horrid losses the Falcons have had, in my opinion, this is where we're at right now in this season. Cowboys won. This one today, too. And then right below it is that Bear loss where Nick Foles came in and was special. But either way, goodness gracious. Okay, quick break. We'll come back top of the hour. And we'll jump into not only the highlights, but some post-game sound as well. Where I take some phone calls on the other side of the break at the same time. Falcon Flyover just getting started here. Thomas Mott, Dylan Matthews, Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game and 92.9thegame.com.
That's it.
Falcons Flyover is on with Thomas Mott.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Falcons Flyover, live and local inside the Kia Studios. How we doing, Atlanta? Bad? Yeah, well, this is like every week. Except for last week, which was fun, and then this week back to not having fun. Falcons fall 23-22. Dylan Matthews in with me today as we go till 7:30. Coming up here in 18 minutes, we'll do our bird's eye view interview with Jarvis Davis, our Falcons reporter and ask him a bevy of questions regarding today, regarding the trade deadline coming up, and also some grades on players in terms of what he thought the Falcons and how, you know, some players might have played well and some players did not. Right now, though, as we always do to start the 6 o'clock hour, we jump into the highlights. Did you miss the game? Were you at a late brunch? Did your girl make you put your phone away? Well, we got you. Here's what happened. Let's go and jump in to today's highlights. All right, so the refs were not good today, which we need to understand, but we can't blame the refs for everything because refs are humans and they make mistakes. The problem is the first score of the day came on the fourth drive of the game because both teams punt, 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 and then right down the field goes Matt Stafford in Detroit. It's third down and goal. Then a roughing the passer call on A.J. Terrell, even though he tackled Matt Stafford with the ball, one of the worst penalties you literally can ever see ever, results in a first and goal at the one, and the former UGA running back punches it in.
First down and goal, the ball at the three after they move it on the penalty. Here's Swift around the goal line, and he will score. Nice shake in the pocket for DeAndre Swift. Got right in the hole and then cashes in.
That was, of course, the first scoring drive of the day for either team. A couple more punts from the Falcons and the Lions. Finally, though, Atlanta with the ball at their own 19-yard line marches 89 yards down the field in 13 plays. And the other UGA running back, the one on the good side, had a 2-yard touchdown run.
Extra tackle, tight end. Hand to Gurley again, right side, and flies into the end zone. Went low enough to go right over the top of the Lions. Jamie Collins tried to get low, and Gurley flushed him.
Again, 13-play, 89-yard scoring drive capped off by the 2-yard touchdown run by Gurley. It's 7-7 Falcons. A couple of drives or a couple of punts later, the Falcons get the next drive for the Lions. They march all the way down the field. They have a fourth down and two at the Atlanta 3, and they try to run the football but fortunately, the Falcon defense really good early. Big stop here.
Single back behind Stafford. In motion goes Jones. They're going to hand it to Peterson. He didn't get it. What a blast. Whoa. Dante Fowler Jr.
Atlanta would get the ball back, 98 yards, right down the field again. And Matt Ryan finding Calvin Ridley after he found him, but he was out of bounds. He found him again for a wide open 4-yard touchdown pass.
Three left side. Ryan looks that way. Now resets and throws to Ridley for the score. He looked left, it looked like he trapped the defenders, thinking he was going to the boundary side, then Ridley snuck out in the middle of the field, wide open for the touchdown.
It's 14-7 Falcons at that point. Really, I know that they had a nice drive early on in terms of the Detroit Lions, but the Falcon defense in that first half was very, very good. At the half, it was 14-10 with the Falcons leading. I think a lot of us at that point were very, very, feeling good about the point and the place that they were at in this ball game. So, coming after the half, of course, Lions right down the field, 11-play, 53-yard drive. They kick a field goal to make it 14-13. And the Falcons decide to go for it in the third quarter on fourth down and 5 inside the Detroit red zone. Again, one-point ball game. They say, no, we're not going to kick a Younghoe Koo field goal. Let's go for it. And they didn't get it. Take a listen.
Fourth down and 5 at the 13. Gage and Ridley left. Here comes Julio in motion to the left. Ito Smith's the back. Detroit bringing pressure. They'll loop it for Ito, and it got deflected. Trey Flowers got a hand on it in the passing lane.
It'll be argued for the next couple of days if that was the right move or not. And as Dylan and I talked about during our first segment, hindsight is 20-20. So if they get it there on fourth and 5 and they score a touchdown, then we feel great about it. We say Raheem Morris is a genius. They didn't get it, and so now I wish they would have kicked a field goal. But again, hindsight is 20-20. It was a pretty good play design. Not the greatest of throws by Matt Ryan. It was tipped away, but Ito Smith had a chance to get and run with that football and probably would have gotten 6 or 7 yards and had enough to go ahead and, let's be honest, really get the Falcons way ahead. They would have gone up by 2 scores and been sitting really pretty there in the third quarter. Fast forward, the Lions miss a field goal on their next drive. The Falcons then, on their following drive, up 1. We're into the fourth quarter now, and unfortunately, Matt Ryan, who's protected well all day, finally the front 4 of the Lions get to him.
Ryan from the pocket in trouble, fumble, and Detroit's got it. It is recovered by Trey Flowers after it got batted away from Ryan.
Remember, it's a one-point game, right? So Ryan turning the football over, all you need is a Detroit field goal to take the lead, and they're already at the Atlanta 32. 4 plays later, they get that field goal. Matt Prater makes this one from 49 yards. It's 16-14. Now, here's where it starts to get very weird, very annoying, and let's just say very Atlanta sports-esque, right? So Matt Ryan and the Falcons need to drive down the field and kick a field goal to win. There's about, 3:09 left in the fourth quarter, and so out comes Matt Ryan, and he starts marching. Completion to Russell Gage, completion to Julio Jones, Todd Gurley. He goes down, all the way down to where it's first and goal at the 10, or excuse me, third and goal at the I'm looking at the wrong one right now. Excuse me. First and goal at the 10. There is 1:04 left on the clock. Detroit is out of timeouts. So Atlanta tries to run the clock out with Todd Gurley, but this happens.
Here's Atlanta, first and goal with 10. Ball Gurley security. The carry at the 5. Todd fell down. Did he fall down shy of the goal line or did he score? No, he broke the plane of the end zone. Touchdown Atlanta.
Now, we're not going to sit here, and I'm not going to be the one to tell you that scoring a touchdown there is bad. Logically, you would have liked to have had Gurley knee the ball at the 1. That way they could have kneed it a couple of times and then kicked a field goal to win the game as time expired. He tried to fall down at the 1, but of course, you're a big running back and you're running really fast and you're trying to break tackles, and so he got down a little bit too far, and so it was a touchdown. They go for 2, they get it. But still, it's a 6-point ball game with less than a minute to go, and you got to figure the defense can get a stop. So, again, another controversial part of today is going to be, should Gurley have fallen shorter before the goal line? He obviously tried to but didn't. I do not blame Todd Gurley for this loss. The loss comes because the defense, when they needed to get one stop, when Matthew Stafford has 0 timeouts and has to go the length of the football field and score, not a field goal, a touchdown, they are completely unable to do so. After a couple of deep balls, Galladay gets a catch. They're down at like the 20-yard line. They spike the ball, 1 second left, and then our hearts are broken.
Snap to Stafford. He will throw. In trouble. Now break. Shoots it. End zone. Caught. T.J. Hockenson. Touchdown, Detroit.
T.J. Hockenson wide open in the middle of the end zone. Of course, that is all that mattered in terms of scoring. They were able to kick the extra point, and the game was over. Atlanta falls 23-22.
Detroit wins on the final play. T.J. Hockenson, a touchdown catch from Matthew Stafford. Atlanta falls to 1-6. Matthew Stafford's first game as a pro in Atlanta. He drives the lines to 75 yards, and they get the throw in the end zone to win the game.
Stafford wasn't great in this game. Again, West Durham, Dave Archer there on the call. You heard it here on 92.9. Had a quarterback rating of 108, but still only 25 of 36 for 340 and one touchdown. Matt Ryan, very similar numbers, 31 of 42, 338 yards, one touchdown, and 2 sacks. Not a great day from Todd Gurley in terms of yardage, but a good day near the end zone as he finishes with 2 touchdowns. This felt like a game, much like a lot of the games this year, a.k.a. the Bears and the Cowboys, where the Falcons should have won this game. And just by dumb, I'm not going to call it luck, but just dumb plays and unluckiness. Let's just say they lose this football game 23-22. A lot of question marks will be asked about, was Gurley trying to stop before the end zone? Did he carry his momentum across the plane? Here was head coach Raheem Morris explaining what went down with Gurley in that final touchdown.
We were trying to take a knee and one. We were trying to end the game that way, and he went in. They gave us a touchdown, but there's still no excuse. We got to stop him on the other side of that.
Exactly right. Listen. In no way do you need to apologize for scoring a touchdown there with less than a minute left to go up by a score. I mean, sure they tried, and guess what? Should they have been able to do it a little bit better? Okay, but let's just put yourself in Todd Gurley's body. With that speed, try to slow yourself down at the 1-yard line. It's difficult to do. And as Raheem Morris said, you should be able to stop them on the other side. Now, if this would have been, let's say, a 2-point ball game and Stafford goes down, kicks a field goal, what are you going to do? A lot of quarterbacks can do that. But not a lot of quarterbacks are going to march that far down the field, score a touchdown to beat you. The good ones do it, and Stafford has done that a lot in his career, even though he's had a, let's just say, not the best teammates around him in Detroit. But you got to give the former UGA quarterback a little bit of a credit for what he was able to do. Here was Matt Ryan quickly on asked whether Gurley should have gone down a little bit earlier rather than scoring.
That's a hard thing. When you're lowering your pads to get yards to stop that momentum, it's tough. And so, it's just a disappointing way to end that game.
What are you going to do? I mean, it gets to the point where you run out of things to say. As I said earlier, when you talk about the worst losses this year, Dallas is still the worst because how many people don't understand that you can touch the football as the receiving team and win the game? That's the worst one. But this loss today goes well ahead of the Bears' loss, it feels like. Now, the Bears' loss, though, was a double-digit loss, and they just were unable to score. And really, I mean, the defense was bad back then. Today feels like everything went right, And then right whenever you needed the defense to play, basically as they had played all game long. I mean, Dylan, this defense looked good. It's looked great the past 2 weeks, just unable to go ahead and get any sort of, one, pressure on Matt Ryan or Matt Stafford on that final drive, and two, Galladay and the rest of those receivers ate on the final, what, five plays of the game.
Yeah, I mean, I give more credit to Matt Stafford and what he was able to do and go down the field. Yeah. Should your defense be able to stop? Yes, I'm not taking any onus off of what the defense did not do. With a minute and 4 seconds left, no timeouts, Matt Stafford shouldn't have been able to score a touchdown there. Defense was playing too well. So I don't know if it was just young guys and, you know, kind of, I don't want to say choking, but, you know, choking or not being up to for the task. But, you know, it's some credit to Matthew Stafford and then some bad defense towards the end of the ballgame.
Either way, the only way to look at this game is that the relevance factor of the Falcons just took a massive hit. Because as I had said for a couple of weeks, if you could beat, get your first win against the Vikings last week, check, look good, check, and then beat a Detroit Lions team that was sitting at 2-3, check, you're 2-5. And then Thursday, short week, you beat Carolina, and then you turn right around and beat Denver, all winnable football games. The Falcons could have been 4-5 heading into a bye before going to November and playing a Saints team that, guess what, is better than you. I still think the Falcons can compete with the New Orleans Saints. And at that point, 5-5, you're relevant again. There was a path to us getting excited about Atlanta, and that path was completely diverted today. And it was diverted not because the offense was terrible in Atlanta, not because the defense was terrible in Atlanta, but because you had a fluke play at the end of the game where Gurley is trying to fall down at the one, is unable to. They still score and get the two-point conversion, but then you have the defense, which has stopped them all day long. I mean, really, you look at what Detroit was able to do through the entire day. They got a lucky first touchdown because A.J. Terrell got called for the dumbest pass interference or a roughing the passer call of all time, and then they were able to march down the field and score the only other touchdown of the day on the final drive. The rest of the time, it was field goals. The defense played well today. We got to give credit where credit is due. It's tough. I'm running out of things to say, guys. And you guys are running out of things to say as well from a Twitter standpoint, from a fan standpoint. It's brutal. It's tough. And the Falcons lose yet again. They're 1-6. All right, quick break. We'll come back and we'll get into our bird's eye view interview with Jarvis Davis, of course, the Falcons reporter. He was there today inside Mercedes-Benz Stadium. We'll break down whatever he saw and get his reaction on the Falcons losing again 23-22 to the Detroit Lions. As Falcon Flyover rolls on, Sports Radio, 92 on the game and 92inthegame.com.
The game is over. Listen in as we analyze today's Falcons game
on the Falcons Flyover
with Thomas Mott.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Falcons Flyover, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, live inside the Kia Studios. I'm your host, Thomas Mott. Dylan Matthews hanging out with me until 7:30. 23-22, Atlanta falls yet again, and yet again in bizarre fashion. Let's go out to the waitfor.com hotline. Let's get to our bird's eye view interview with Jarvis Davis, our Falcons reporter.
Now, it's time for a bird's eye view with 92.9 The Game's Falcon reporter, Jarvis Davis.
All right, Jarvis, welcome you on the show as we always do here to get your reaction as you were, of course, at Mercedes-Benz Stadium today for what is another brutal loss. I want to start with the question that we're going to hear all week long, the Todd Gurley score, which ended up hurting the Falcons. What do you make of that play? Obviously, they've said he tried to fall down earlier. Do you blame Todd Gurley for what went down today, or does the blame go elsewhere?
I don't blame Todd Gurley for the loss of the game. I think it falls squarely at the feet of Raheem Morris. Because when you think about the beginning of the fourth quarter, it's 4th and 5, and you have an opportunity to go up 4 points in the fourth quarter, and you don't take the points. Not saying a field goal is automatic, but you have to take the points in that matter because their defense is playing well. And they've been playing well with the one-point lead, so give them a little bit more something to play with because at the end of the day, your whole mentality changes when a team has to score a touchdown. They have to go the length of the field and finish their drive in order to win the game because the whole defense coordinator mindset changes totally. You're able to be a little bit more aggressive if they're on the minus 20 or the minus 30. All of those things come into play when you think about mindsets going into different drives because you want to play a little bit tighter when you're only up by one, especially this team being that they've always lost leads in these particular situations. So I think you just put your team in a bad situation when you're going for it on fourth and five. Fourth and one, you may be able to justify that. Fourth and inches, you may be able to justify that. But fourth and five, that is just unacceptable at that point.
Talking to Jarvis Davis, our Falcons reporter here at 92.9 The Game. He was at Mercedes-Benz Stadium. You mentioned that the blame goes to Raheem Moore. So does it feel like Raheem understands that he has a massive hill to climb if he was going to go from interim head coach to full-time head coach at the end of the year, to the point that he knows he not only has to win the majority of the final games, but has to look good doing it? Does that fourth and five play feel like he's a little desperate in terms of, hey, I need to score points because we need to win by double digits? That way I have a shot at not being fired at the end of the year.
I don't know if it's desperation, but I do think that it has to be in the back of his mind, because asking him about, you know, what was the thought process behind that, he's saying, obviously, you know, he wanted to be aggressive in those moments, but you would think that you need to take the points and kick the field goal in that particular situation. So I think that, and going back to the Arthur Blank's press conference when Dan Quinn was fired, I think there was something to the whole 11-0 thing. Not to say that he has had to go 11-0, but I think it has to be an 11-0 mindset and 11-0 showing, you know, because you mentioned about looking good doing it. I think he had to look good doing winning most of the games to be a serious candidate to remove that interim tag. So I think right now, losing the way they did, which is how they lost before, they got rid of the previous head coach. I think that's not a good look for Raheem trying to reach his goal going forward.
Let me ask you this. Last week, the whole conversation was, wow, look how different this team looks without Dan Quinn and Thomas Dimitroff at the head, most notably Dan Quinn. I mean, it was night and day difference in terms of what they were able to do in the first five games and then in the win against the Vikings. Does today change your mind about that a little bit in terms of everyone wanted to just put all the blame on Dan Quinn? Does this kind of fix things a little bit for you in terms of, okay, wait, maybe the team is just bad overall? Or how do you put this loss into perspective now that Morris has officially lost one of his first games?
I don't care what anybody says. Like, you look at how this team plays and look at the players and look at how Keanu Neal was utilized today. I got a chance to ask him after the game about, you know, his performance today, because I went on record as saying that I thought that this was his best performance since he's come back from an injury, because he was just all over the field, had 11 tackles. I think he had 10 solos. He had the sack, and I think Olbrich and Morris are doing a really good job of making do with what they have, because a lot of people talking about how they weren't able to get pressure when they were blitzing, but as a defensive coordinator, I know what I'm working with. I know that I can't line four guys down and say, you know what, y'all go get the quarterback, y'all get the pressure, y'all go sack Matt Stafford, and we'll take these other seven guys and worry about the coverage on the back end. No, they can't do that. That's been proven consistently. And I think the Lions did a really good job of making sure that they weren't able to do that, because in the fourth quarter, they were chipping and rubbing Dante Fowler the entire time. They were making sure that he wasn't the guy that to get off. So I think that, you know, when you have that particular situation and you look at these games and you think about what has changed since Raheem Morris has taken over, regardless of the end result, this defense looks different.
I totally agree with the fact that defense does look different. If they get a stop on that final drive, it's a whole different conversation right now. It's a whole different outlook for the rest of the year. I mean, it could have been night and day in terms of our, you know, doom and gloom versus excitement right now if they had just gotten a stop on that final drive. Let me ask you this question. This goes into what is going to be the trade deadline week, essentially November 3rd, obviously Election Day, but also the trade deadline in the NFL. I know what your answer is going to be, but I also know I'm about to open up the phone lines to listeners who want to interact on the show, and we are going to hear trade Matt Ryan, trade Julio Jones, tank for Trevor. I guarantee you I will get that phone call in the next hour. So for the people listening right now, just so that you could spare them having to call me, trading Matt Ryan and trading Julio Jones, it's not going to happen. You agree, and why?
I do agree, because you can't.
Yeah, at all.
You just can't. You can't. You can't do it, because the ramifications that you have to deal with from a salary cap standpoint are too great. I think they're too great in order for you to do it. Now, if you're saying that a general manager gets hired and he takes a look at the salary cap and he's saying, we damn sure can't do this. And, you know, and he has a conversation with the new head coach and say, you know what? We can do this. We can really do this if we want to. And here's how. And, you know, we can move this guy around, or we can trade this guy. We can get, you know, we send that with a top five pick, and we know we're going to be able to get this quarterback. It's just too many moving pieces or thought process that goes into trying to trade those guys. If you're trying to trade James Carpenter, you know, somebody says, you know what, we need a veteran guard, and we're trying to make a run. Hey, how about we give you a fourth or fifth rounder for James Carpenter? Okay, those are the type of deals you need to think about if you're just thirsting for the Falcons to make a move. Or if somebody calls and say, you know what, Alex Mack, man, we need a center, man. Like, we had a lot of issues at center. Let's see if we can – let's make a call. Let's call the Falcons and see what they will take for him. So all those things, and then you can have – then you can see what you can have in Matt Hennessy. And that can kind of get rid of the evaluation process for the next regime to come in, if that's something that you want to do. But I just don't see Julio Jones and Matt Ryan, one or the other or both, being – dangled out there, or a team making a phone call saying, hey, we really need these guys, or we need a quarterback to try to be able to make a run in the playoffs. Because those essentially are the type of moves that you make when you are a playoff team. And I don't see a playoff team out there saying, you know what, if they get a quarterback now, let's picture this. Walk with me, Thomas. Walk with me for a little bit. Yeah. I know you got to get out of here, but if it's the Dallas Cowboys, you know what? We don't really like that, you know, and we're really built to win right now, and we don't really going to get into the whole getting a young quarterback. We want to win right now.
Yeah.
If the Dallas Cowboys make that phone call, okay, I can see it possibly happening. But that's not where – I just don't see teams that were already in the playoff mix and still in the playoff mix right now. I don't see a team making that phone call.
I don't either. And listen, I think the reason I ask, because I know people are going to be clamoring for that because they're upset with the loss, and it'll probably still happen, but at least I asked you and people can hear that out there. Like you said, there has to be a team that needs a quarterback or a receiver, and it has to be a team that's winning that needs a quarterback. And the only team that was flashed out there this week was San Francisco, but guess what? San Francisco's blowing out the Patriots right now. Jimmy G looks just fine. Okay, quickly to end this segment, got about 2 minutes. I'm going to give you some players for the Falcons. Give me a grade for them. Well, what grade would you give Matt Ryan today?
I would give a B minus, okay. Because I think there were some throws that he missed. The Hayden Hurst throw. There was a throw to Calvin Ridley that he should normally make. I just think there were some throws he missed here and there. So I would probably give him a B minus.
Okay, let's go to Todd Gurley, 63 rushing yards and 2 touchdowns. The controversy at the end, but what's your grade for Todd Gurley?
That's a hard one. I'd say maybe a C plus, because in order for him to be successful, the guys up front have to be on point, the offensive line, and it wasn't there for them today in the run game, I don't think. And you started seeing some holes open up towards the end of the game, but I can't, it's hard for me to grade him solely. So I put the offensive line in there with him, and I would say probably a C+.
Let's go to the defensive side here. How about A.J. Terrell, who I think is continuing to play very, very well? What grade would you give him today?
Oh, man, I have to give him an A, because there were some balls the way you look at a corner, or how you judge how good a corner is that it's not about him necessarily getting beat, because the corner going to get beat. It's NFL. You're going to get beat. All the rules come into play, and there's just a lot of really good wide receivers out there in today's game. But it's all about being able to contest the throw or contest the catch or being able to make a play on the ball. Even though he got beat, he still was trying to make a play or almost had made a play on the football. So I would have to give him an A.
final grade here. Let's go for Raheem Morris, who you mentioned earlier takes the blame for the loss today. Overall grading for the Falcons' current interim head coach.
Yeah, I have to give him, I mean, like, what can I give him outside of the L, because they got the L today? And I hate to do that. I hate to put it like so bluntly, but that's what it is. Like, even down to challenging the catch, you know, you blew a timeout. You basically blew a timeout in the fourth quarter. You can't do that. For timeouts in the fourth quarter, you're going to need those, especially when it's a one-score game. You know, those games can go either way by whether or not you have a timeout or not. So losing a timeout and going for it on fourth and five, I have to give him an F.
There you go. He is Jarvis Davis, our Falcons reporter and insider here at 92.9 for our Bird's Eye View interview. Jarvis, I appreciate it, and we'll be talking to you again next week. We'll see what happens. Always appreciate Jarvis coming on. He was there in the in the interview rooms, you know, getting the full breakdown from not only Raheem Morris, but the rest of the Falcons, and we'll play more of that sound later on in the show. Quick break here. We're going to come back in about 5 minutes. Get your phone calls in. It's your time. Call producer Dylan right now. We'll put you on the air. What happened in Atlanta today? I want your reaction. 404-741-0929. 404-741-0929. Talk to you guys next. Falcons Live rolls on. Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game.
Game is over.
Wow, this game is over.
We're doing a complete breakdown of today's game with Falcons Flyover with Thomas Mott.
Our Falcons play here. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Falcons Flyover. I'm your host, Thomas Mott, as we now will be taking your phone calls. So call us 404-741-0929. We want your reaction. That's the whole real point of the show, is your reaction. The fans driving home. Whether you were out at a bar, at a restaurant, watching the Falcons game, or maybe you just watched it at home and were so upset that they lost yet again and wanted to hop in your car and listen to me until 7:30. Remember, NFL Sunday is coming up here on Westwood One at 7:30, followed by the flexed Sunday Night Football game, which is Seahawks-Cardinals. You'll hear the call here at about 8:15. Falcons losers, 23-22, another bizarre way to do it. We'll go to the phone lines as we always do. Dylan will cue you up. He'll bring you in, and then we'll go ahead and get your reaction. Dylan, who do we have up first?
Up first, we got Randy listening in Lawrenceville. Randy, you're up.
Hey, Randy, what's up, man?
I'm doing all right, Thomas. Man, first, I want to touch on something I've heard nobody touch on yet.
Okay.
Which, for the life of me, I don't understand. When we in those fourth-quarter situations, and I know we're playing the bend-don't-break defense, with the situation today, you have to send some pressure to force the ball out of his hands. I do not understand why we sit back seven people and nobody is putting pressure. Everybody knows we don't have four linemen to get pressure. Send one linebacker to force this guy to throw the ball. And that's all I want to hit on, other than Dirk Cutter don't know how to use the weapons that we have. What do you think about that, Thomas?
Randy, I appreciate the phone call. The question you asked first about the defense is a two-edged sword, right? Because there are a lot of times in the fourth quarter where teams will send pressure and put their corners in one-on-one situations and get burnt, and then you sit there and go, well, just sit back and play prevent defense. The problem is the Falcons today played prevent defense, and then they went ahead and brought no pressure, and like you said, Stafford had all day, and the prevent defense wasn't able to do so. So I agree with you. I would rather send a little bit of pressure just to get Stafford off of his, you know, clean pocket, off of his stance, and maybe force him to throw a pick. But you also got to remember it's a two-edged sword, because if you send pressure and you don't get home, then you got, you know, it's Oliver, Terrell, you got young people on the backside trying to hold down against Galladay and Danny Amendola and Marvin Jones one-on-one. So I agree. I would like to see a little more pressure, maybe once or twice in that final drive. They were basically unable to, and they didn't do it. But at the same time, it is a two-edged sword. Cutter is going to be a guy that you can't fire right now, like in terms of how the whole offense works, right? He's the one who calls the plays and designs everything, and so firing the offensive coordinator halfway through a season just doesn't make sense. But I think it's safe to say Cutter will also be one of these, you know, bad season casualties that is basically inevitable. If Dirk Cutter is on this team next year, there's a major problem and head-scratching issue that we have, because as Dylan is nodding his head right now, and as people are telling me when I interview Falcon writers and reporters, the offense at times looks fantastic, and then there are a lot of times where it's three and out, and they're struggling, and they're unable to use those weapons, and you mentioned it. Now, there will be people, and I'm sure they're lined up on the phone lines right now, who are going to blame Matt Ryan and Julio Jones and say that they're washed. You can do that, but at the same time, it's very, very hard to do so when you see games like last week and when you see certain drives like the 89-yard drive today and the 98-yard drive today. This team can score. But there are a lot of head-scratching play calls that don't make sense, and so I agree. Cutter is probably going to go. It's just a matter of time, but there's just no way to fire him right now, and you're 1-6, so what's it really going to do? Okay, next caller is who, Dylan? Let's go.
I got to give a special shout-out to John. He's listening on the radio.com app in Southern California.
Jeez, John, what's up? First off, how's the weather in Southern California? It's got to be great. John? Oh, no. We gave him the shout-out. He's on the app. And then, John, call us back. John, listen, if you call us back and we can queue you up, I'll put you at the front of the line. Who's next, Dylan? It's tough, though. You got to be there.
Oh, man, that's a shame. All right. Next, we got Sam in Southwest Atlanta.
Sam is here listening on the radio. Sam, we still love you. What's up, man?
Hey, how you doing today?
I'm doing well.
Hey, I'm going to come with a different tactic. I'm hearing all the X's and O's. My main blame goes to Arthur Blank at the head of the team. I feel like with him, the team has become a reflection of himself. He has so many friends up there with Thomas Dimitrov and Rich McKay, who sucked at a GM, so I'm going to move him over here as president because these are our friends. So I'm happy he finally got rid of Thomas since he flew up there and got him from the owner of the Patriots when we had the debacle with the Michael Vick situation. But in my opinion, Thomas Dimitrov was still working for the Patriots because he made all these horrible picks, and they love to cheat. So that's what I'll keep them on, the payroll. And so at this point, I feel like Arthur Blank has to be the owner, step up, man up, and turn his organization around, man.
I agree.
Do his best thing to do it.
Listen, I agree, and I appreciate the phone call. I think he has, though. I think, I mean, he fired his head coach and GM 5 weeks into the season, 4 weeks in, whatever it was, right? 2 weeks ago on Monday, he let go of his head coach and his GM. Now, it was too little too late, and that's kind of the argument that he was that I think the caller just put out there, is that this should have been done not only last year, but maybe early on in the year. Yes, that's all true. But what we have right now is a team that, as I mentioned, with the loss today, to go to 1-6, just gets into this irrelevant, you know, nothingness for the rest of the year. Because what's a win going to do? It's going to make people mad who want to tank. And then losses are going to make people more frustrated because they're losses. There's no way to win now if you're a Falcons a player, personnel, front office, even Arthur Blank. There's no way to win. If you tank and lose all of your games, you make the tank people happy, but then you make everyone in a day-to-day Falcons, like watching the debacles time and time again, upset. And if you start winning games and then you ruin the draft pick, as people are going to obviously point out, and I'm waiting for that phone call, then you make the people mad who obviously want the draft pick to be good. So I think that the blame obviously goes to the very top, but I think Mr. Arthur Blank did what everyone wanted him to do and what he was supposed to do. He's going to clean house, and this house will be cleaned. It's just a matter of, we got to get through this year, because let me check my schedule here. We're only 7 games in. There's a lot of football left, which, hey, this is what happens when you're a bad losing football team. We're stuck with weeks like we're going to have on Thursday against the Panthers, which feels a little bit more irrelevant than it would have been had they won. Next phone caller.
We got Ken in Atlanta.
Ken, what's up, Ken?
What's up? Okay, I want to make a quick statement.
Yes.
A lot of people probably won't get mad at me about, but first of all, I'm hurt by the loss, but I'm happy that we lost. For the reason why, if we would have won today, we would be in a false sense of security that this team doesn't need what it needs. And it needs a total overhaul cleaning of the coaching staff. Because even though we got rid of Dan Quinn, we still have the same coaches that was under him, and they still doing it. It seemed like Dan Quinn's still out there. And before the game, pregame, I was hearing that everyone's still taking advice from Dan Quinn's playbook. And it seemed like that's what they did at the last minute of losing that game. So that's all I want to say.
I appreciate the phone call there. And it does kind of feel that way. The problem is it felt real good last week. And the whole false sense of security thing is real, because at 2-5, are you really going to make a run? I just think from my perspective, because I've been one of those guys who was hyping it up this week, saying you win today, anything can happen. I think it comes from two different standpoints. One, the schedule the next 4 weeks was very winnable, and I still believe this team has talent. I think everyone can agree with that. And two, I just want to be rooting for something that matters. Right, rooting for a 1-6 team versus rooting for a 2-5 team or a 3-5 team or a 5-5 team is night and day. It's fun. When you go into a game and it matters, which is what every single game up to today has basically felt like, you know, this game matters. If you win it, it's a big deal. If you lose it, when we get to the point of the end of the season, and maybe we're there today or maybe we're there on Thursday or the week after that, when you're basically eliminated, like mathematically eliminated, it just feels like you're watching a game just to suffer through it, right? It's like, okay, we're watching a Falcons game today. Oh, yeah, the Falcons are on. Oh, look, they're losing again. Instead of like, man, if they win this, like this fourth down call is a big deal. Like, we got to get this. And that's what I'm trying to get at in terms of the whole 2-5 thing. Yeah, false of security. This team is not gonna was not going to go to the postseason if they won today. It was Detroit. But still, it would have made Thursday night just a little bit more interesting and maybe kept you and I up a little bit later on a Thursday night just to watch what happens in the fourth quarter instead of being like, eh, they're down 7. Who cares? TV off, bet. Right? And that's the problem right now, sitting at 1-6. That's my main problem, at least. Let's keep going to the phone lines, 404-471-0929. Who's next, Dylan?
All right, now we're going to try this again. John from Southern California is back listening on the radio.com app, so shout out to John.
John, can you hear me, man?
I can hear you. Gentlemen, thank you so much for taking my call. Thank you so much for being here. This is becoming a weekly thing where I need my 92.9 therapy to just commiserate, which is grateful you're here. But anyway, I just want to touch on this this Todd Gurley situation real
yes.
quick. I'm 34 years old almost, and I don't know what team people think I've been watching for the last 34 years. If they think that taking two knees and kicking a field goal from the 6-inch line is guaranteed with this football team, let's go back a little bit. This football team is the same football team that with Dave Hampton gave their first 1,000-yard rusher the game ball, put him back in the game. He finished the season with less than 1,000 yards. This is the same football team that where nothing spectacular happened on February 5th, 2017, right? This is the same football team who lost a football game on a pick two. Explain that to me. This is the same football team that happened to find all the guys on the team that did not know the onside kick rule and put them on the same side of the onside kick. If we don't take points when we have them, your one-year deal on a running back that's going to push that ball into the end zone, if we don't take the points, then we're there. What are we doing? Because like I said, I am not confident that this team takes two knees and doesn't find a way to screw that up when we're kicking a field goal.
That's a very good point.
I just had to get that off my chest.
No, hey, listen, I appreciate the phone call all the way out there in California, proof that California weather is not enough to make you be happy regardless of a Falcons loss. But he's right. I mean, this whole idea that Gurley cost us the game to me is ridiculous because let's say they take two knees and kick a field goal and Younghoe Koo misses, then we're all going, well, why don't you just punch it in? You're marching down the field. Like, come on. The blame goes to the defense for not getting a stop on the final drive. That's just where you got to put the blame. Not the refs, not Gurley, not kneeing the ball at the one, not field. No, you got to get a stop when Matt Stafford has no timeouts and needs to score. Good football teams win that game. Bad ones lose. Guess what? The Falcons, they are bad. Okay, shocker, right? I know. It's mind-blowing stuff here on the Falcons Flyover. Quick break. We'll come back. We got plenty more time going until 7:30. So if you're in line and on the phone, sit tight. Stay there or you'll lose your position in line. And we'll talk to you guys on the other side of this break. We'll keep going with our phone calls and also update you on some of these late games right now. A lot of them are blowouts. Just a little heads up. Falcon Flyover rolling on a Sunday afternoon. Sports Radio, 929 The Game, 929TheGame.com.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during O'Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, oh.